Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thanks for being with us again on yet another snow event. What is going on with Mother Nature? And I'm going to talk a little more about Mother Nature in a minute, but we have a wonderful guest today. Roxanne Mousseau from Canada is going to visit with us. But first, tonight's metaphysical musing. And I didn't want to talk about Valentine's Day just before Valentine's Day because I figured people were freaked out enough. But one of the things that I posted on Facebook was, oh, good, it's Valentine's Day with a full moon and Mercury's retrograde. So for some people, that none of that will make any sense at all. But for other people, if you hadn't thought of it before, you're sitting there laughing, nodding your head. Why does that stuff matter? And why would I connect it to Valentine's Day? Well, the full moon is the point in the monthly cycle of energy where the energy is the highest and emotions run the highest. Anybody who does anything with people with psychiatric issues, if you work in a psych hospital, emergency room, or your police are on a rescue squad, you know the full moon's different. More happens. People are a little bit more out there. So emotions run higher. Okay, it's Valentine's Day, emotions running higher. That could go either way, I guess. Let's add Mercury retrograde. So for those of you that don't speak astrology, I don't particularly speak astrology, but I know some of the basics and I know some of the basic effects. Mercury is one of the planets that are tracked in astrology, and going retrograde in the way they look at it means instead of going in the direction it's supposed to be going, it's now looking like it's moving backwards, which obviously it doesn't really do in the solar system. And the scientists are arguing over whether Pluto, Mercury, and some of the other planets are appropriately named. But Mercury's still a planet. Pluto, not so much right now. So Mercury going retrograde is supposed to affect communication and at the very least make communication more difficult, but make communication harder to understand, affects communication devices, electronics. Any kind of communication tends to be a bit wonky during Mercury retrograde. I call Mercury being retrograde one of our favorite scapegoats, because during this entire period of Mercury being retrograde, anytime communication goes bad or equipment doesn't work, somebody is going to say, oh, well, Mercury's retrograde. So I don't know exactly how much any of it all by itself would affect things, but let's add what else is going on in the solar system at the moment that is affecting people who are sensitive. Solar flares, the change in the electromagnetic polarity of the sun, an increase in the cosmic wind, which comes from the sun, and the Earth is drifting through a photon belt. Now, what does any of that mean? It's real physical stuff going on in the solar system, and all of it has to do with higher levels of various kinds of energy coming and hitting our physical planet, its electromagnetic field, our atmosphere. There are a lot of people worrying during these events whether or not communication satellites and other things are going to fry because it's that much physical energy. Now, whether you look at it spiritually or physically, we are an energetic system. We have a nervous system that's electrical, but everything is energy, and we're certainly all energy. And all these things happen, and the people I know who do the work that I do that are sensitive are all having all kinds of intense body problems. Feeling achy, feeling tired, brain fog, being unfocused, really having a hard time working. And it's only when we start talking to each other and realizing that hundreds or thousands of miles apart were having the same symptoms on the same day. So it couldn't be that we got a virus or strained a muscle, that we realized that all the things that are going on are affecting us simultaneously. So Valentine's Day, full moon, all the other events in the solar system, Mercury retrograde. It was one of those nights when I was actually happy I wasn't in a relationship, because I could not imagine how complicated it could get. Not for everyone. Some people would have no problem at all. And other people, it would just be really complicated. So I thought I was going to tell my Valentine story about just the story of Valentine's Day, because it's really two historic events thrown together and then overlaid with the card manufacturers who thought it would be really cool to hype the date. But I hope you had a wonderful Valentine's Day, if you have a Valentine, and that it was very, very special. But it also had the potential to be pretty wacky. So that's tonight's metaphysical musing. And now we get to play with my new friend, Roxanne Mousseau, from outside Calgary, Alberta, Canada, in the foothills of the Rockies, which is one of the most beautiful places I've ever been, you lucky gal. How you doing tonight, Roxanne?
I'm fantastic, David. Thanks for having me.
Now, Roxanne, On one hand, I look at the stuff that you do and I totally understand it. And, you know, I put you in the category of you're one of us. You're doing the same kind of work as a lot of people that I interview, but you express it very differently. So I always start out by asking people two things. One, what do you do? And the other is, how did you wind up doing it? You know, what was your walkabout? Because all of us had an adventure that got us to where we are now doing what we're doing. And so, first of all, we have a joke. I said, you know, tell me your elevator speech. And Roxanne didn't have any idea what that was. the elevator speech is, you know, when you're in an elevator and someone says, what do you do? How do you tell what you do in less than 3 minutes? So she's decided that where she is, it's a dog sled stop speech. Because there are no elevators.
I am going to get shot by my fellow Canadians for creating that joke. We get teased enough about living in igloos.
I'm sure. And I have lots of Canadian friends, including a friend in Edmonton that I can give a really hard time to in the middle of the winter.
What do I do? You know, honestly, basically, when I get right down to it, I just specialize in transformation. I used to say change, but I don't like to say change anymore, because I'm really coming to the idea that it's not so much that we change, but we transform how we relate to what's already there and bring in new things. So that really is my dog sled stop speech. And then the details of that really depend on who I'm talking to, what tools I need to bring in to help that person. So, I mean, I work with angels. I work with ancestor energy. There is a whole great big piece that's important to me around, you know, connecting to Mother Nature and the land. And, you know, so there is that, I will say, shaman aspect, but I am not a shaman by any means. I have done no training there, but that draws me very strongly. So, yeah, I just help people make transformation in their life in whatever way that needs to show up for them.
There's something different about how you express it, though, which I found fascinating. One, you really, in the materials I read, have a real emphasis on the divine feminine, which is a whole interesting conversation in itself. And the other is that you use the word alchemist. And there are more people taking back that word, which got kind of a bad rap when science showed up. But
you know, I had a hard time deciding what I was going to call myself. And I tried out all kinds of different names. I was like, for a while, I was a joy facilitator, because I was helping facilitate people bringing joy into their life. And then for a while, I was an angel intuitive, but that got trademarked.
Oh, dear.
I was like, what am I going to do now? you know, and it really, I had to do some brainstorming about, you know, what's in me and what do I bring and what comes through me. And, you know, Divine Feminine was a very big revelation for me, probably in the past year of my life and in my growth and my path about, who am I as a woman? And what are those archetypes and how I embody them, and didn't realize I was embodying so much of, you know, queen, mother, goddess, sister, all those pieces that we can be as women, and using each of those archetypes in my healing work. And then The Alchemist, that's totally about that idea of transformation and transmutation, right? Again, like, I always hesitate on change. I don't like change because it's truly taking one thing and moving it into something else. So, yeah. And when I hit that, that was suggested to me by a good friend of mine. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, my whole body vibrated with it. And I was like, there it is.
Yeah, I bet I know who that friend is, because she also calls herself an alchemist. was that Kelly Sparta?
It absolutely was. Kelly's been a profound mentor in my journey, and absolutely such a gift to me. So, yes, it was.
I suspected. Kelly and I are buddies and give each other a merciless hard time. So.
Excellent. I'm high-fiving you right now, David.
There you go. There you go. So, yeah, that whole idea of alchemist and changing things that appear to be, you know, in the tradition, base metals into something precious is really a very profound idea. Yes. And then the idea of the divine feminine, which I will let you define, but this is really a turning point in the world with the divine feminine energy. Returning to the planet is not the right word. My perspective is that Jesus, Yeshua, was a shaman of the divine feminine, that all of the values, all of what he talked about and brought in were divine feminine values. And we're still struggling over all of that.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, tell me more about how you see that and how that, because your work is special in a certain way. And I'm just, you know, trying to get you to talk about some of the things that you express very well.
Ask me the question again. As I try and formulate the thoughts.
Well, how do you see, understand, express, work with the energy of the divine feminine?
For me, I guess in my spiritual practice, the divine feminine to me has become the great mother, who is mother of us all. And so that is a piece of my spiritual practice. But more than that, the divine feminine to me is more than just, you know, the goddesses of, you know, cultures long past or that are being reborn or however folks want to lay it out. She is a very real energy. And I believe she's in each of us, whether you're male, female, whatever gender orientation you choose, doesn't matter. I believe that we each have, you know, divine feminine and divine masculine energies within us. And for me, that's a very sacred piece for all of us as humans on this planet and in this realm. I think that idea of divine feminine also brings along with it modes of thinking and behaving that when we tap into them, allow us to create a better balance within our lives on all levels. You know? So when it comes to the archetypes that I was mentioning earlier, you know, that divine feminine to me is many things. She is mother, you know, the nurturer, the one who births us and holds us and is daughter, you know, receiver of that knowledge. And I use a lot of, you know, the girl terms because I'm a girl, but we could also, you know, dip into the masculine terms as well. And I see the divine feminine as that mother, daughter, sister, healer, creator, and destroyer. And I think these aspects often get left out. We want to look at the divine feminine as, you know, that receptive, open, flowing, creative, beautiful, pure, sensual. But, you know, there's a lot of folks out there that don't want to look at that destroyer aspect of, you know, when we look at Mother Nature, for example, it's not all fluffy bunnies and rainbows. You know, there are things I would like it to be, but let me tell you, there is that aspect of reorganization through destruction, right? We see it in some of the weather through, and I think that's a very important piece that a lot of us miss. You know, the divine feminine to me knows when to hold the line and when to push boundaries. And she also knows the difference between healing with a soft touch and when to cut away that which no longer serves. So, yeah.
And one of the most powerful feminine deities in the Hindu tradition is Kali. And she's fierce. The images of her are fierce. And a lot of the conversation about Kali is about the destructive aspects. And I'm sure there are other traditions where there is a goddess entity where it's emphasized that way. But it's fascinating to me how that the energy of Kali is fearful to lots of people, especially when they see the images. In some of the work that I do, she's an ally, and I'm real happy when she shows up because that's what she does. You know, she will go right into a situation where something needs to change now in a powerful way, or a boundary needs to be set. And that's what she does. That's a lot of what she brings to situations. So, yeah, so a very wide range of elements of personality and energy and function in the world. And I think for most, at least for the generation of women that I grew up with, there was a limitation in what you were allowed to express.
Yes.
You know, you could be this part of being feminine, but you couldn't be all of those other parts of being feminine.
Well, and I think hit it right on the head that, you know, this divine feminine energy that, you know, is, I'm going to say growing, because it's been sliding in for a long time now when we're talking about the energy shifting and the planes shifting. But this divine feminine energy that's growing now offers more opportunity for all of us as men and women to look at all those aspects and bring all those different energies in. I know when that destroyer energy first showed up, I was like, uh-oh, there's something wrong with me, guys. My view has gone sideways. Somebody help me. But I've seen such gifts come from it, you know, moments when I've been working with a client who is just so stuck in something, and that energy coming through and just totally obliterating the story that they were choosing to live in. And then just like this huge foundational shift in their life. And I was like, wow, maybe this is part of this energy. Maybe this is okay. And wow, does it feel good to be allowed to let that flow and then create something so beautiful from it.
Right. And it's very different from destruction that comes out of fear and anger.
Yes.
Which is the usual association with destruction, is the warlike aspect of it. And this is much more a guardian protector, making it the way it should be, not allowing someone else to bring in that fear, anger, destruction energy. Like, no, that's not what's happening here.
It always reminds me, as strange as I always say this sounds when I say it, it always reminds me of the stern grandmother who gets angry for a moment. You know, she loves you. She's going to hug you after, but you're in trouble and we're going to fix this now.
Right.
And there is that, you hit it right on the head, David. There just is that love behind it that is so profound and powerful that it makes it safe to rip down what no longer serves.
Yep. And it's interesting to see. It's interesting to find, this is a good conversation for me, because I'm thinking of all the men in my life who knew how to do that from that feminine perspective. They were angry because it was time to be angry. They pushed back because it was time to push back, not because they were terrified and that brought up anger and then they became dangerous.
Yes.
Which is much more the old masculine energy that's flailing around on the planet at the moment, trying to figure out what in the world's going to become of them.
And I think one of the powerful pieces of the difference between those two types of destruction is in that old paradigm of destruction, what comes out of it generally is more sorrow and more ugliness, right? Mm-hmm. And more things that need to be cleaned up. But when we're talking about this new paradigm of this loving destruction for transformation, what comes out of it is beauty and growth and more connection, right? And so, you know, when we're looking at the roots of where each comes from, it just, it's such a profound difference.
Yeah, the way it feels to me is I didn't know that had to leave, but I'm so glad it's gone now.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
frequently the things that we hold on with the most energy and the most fear of letting it go are the things that most need to leave.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So
and then we do.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, and when those things do, it creates this new space. I always call it the waiting room. And that's the room where you're sitting and you're like, okay, what's next? And in that place, that's a beautiful place of power, because that's where somebody can come and whisper to you, you're the author of the story. What are you going to write next?
Mm-hmm.
Create it, you know? And that is probably one of my favorite moments with anybody that I work with. What's next, Roxanne? What do you want to be next? Imagine it, because it's all there for you. So, yeah. Right.
No, I'm just laughing because that's exactly where my life is at the moment. So we've done all these other things and they're not happening anymore. And you have the rest of your life to lead. So what now? Okay. Mm-hmm. I've had all these interesting adventures. What's the next one? can I be more conscious about it instead of being dragged kicking and screaming by spirit off into whatever the adventure is going, really? You kidding me? Really?
But David, spirit says you like it that way. Apparently they say you like it a little
rough. It's so
like
unfair. It's so unfair that they're talking to you, you know? I mean, it's and undoubtedly they're laughing at me at the same time. Because it's what they do to me. Since we're talking about adventures, let's go back to the question of, so how'd you get here? You know, what was the walkabout for you?
Well, I'm going to separate it into two walkabouts, because I'm just about to head out onto a real physical walkabout in, I believe, 9 days from now. My journey here to where I'm at right now has literally been a lifelong one. I always knew there was something different about me when I was growing up, and I just thought, okay, well, you know, I'm going to be one of those weird people, and didn't really get words for what was different. I just knew things, and I didn't know how I knew things. Mm-hmm. I could feel things. I could look at somebody and just go, oh, wow, this hurts inside of you, whether that was a physical or an emotional or a spiritual thing. And I remember doing that even as just a young child. I was always a spiritual seeker in that I was raised in organized religion. It didn't work for me. So I asked a lot of questions. I got in a lot of trouble because I would just ask, why do we have to do this? And then they would go to, you know, the Bible, and this is why. And I'm like, but how do you know that that's what was really written? Oh man, did I get in so much trouble? So when I got into university, I was doing theater and women's studies, and that gave me a whole new language set and a whole new set of questions that I started asking. And so I started examining my spirituality as it had been taught to me growing up and discarding what didn't work and trying out new things. I used to get a big kick out of when I was studying, you know, paganism and Wicca in my early 20s, just walking around telling people I was a witch. It was the early 90s. It was fantastic. Looks of horror.
Just for the fun of it.
Yeah, just for the fun of it. And in that time, that was when I really started coming to understand that the things that I thought were so different had words that went with them and that were gifts, but sometimes those gifts were very difficult to deal with. So being an empath, being able to, you know, sense in others and around me what was going on, being as cognizant as I was, but not understanding where that knowledge came from. And so, yeah, that just kept growing. And then probably about, maybe 8 years ago now, I walked into a Chapters bookstore, which is much like your Barnes and Nobles down there in the States. Mm-hmm. And I always used to go to the self-help section because I knew that there was so much more to life and I want to be the best I could be in life. So I'm in there and there was this book pulsating at me off a shelf. And it was like the energy was tapping my skin. I had never felt anything like it before in my life. And I was like, this is so weird. And I looked at that book and it was How to Hear Your Angels by Doreen Virtue. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, right. Because I was taught that when I left the religion of my childhood, that my prayers were blocked by the angels. And so I was pretty pissed about that. I was like, okay, well, screw you guys, not dealing with you. But the energy off that book just kept beating against, you know, my aura. And I thought, you know, I've challenged every other story, every other belief and piece of dogma that I was given. Why not challenge this? Why not pick up this book and see what's in there? Because much like everything else up to that point in time, I can take what I like and leave the rest. I personally like to call it Roxanneism. There's no other subscribers to me besides me. And I'm okay with that because it's my truth. And, you know, so anyway, so I did pick up that book and that book changed my life in that when I was reading Dr. Virtue's work and what she wrote in that book, there was descriptions of pretty much everything I had experienced up until that point in time. And I went, that's what that was. And so the profound shift for me was that often, you know, often all of us think we're alone, but especially those of us that are, you know, gifted and, you know, have these gifts to share and are here on this planet with a mission, you know, it's a lonely path to walk. And it was in those profound moments in that book and that I realized I had never been alone. Mm-hmm. And I had to sit with that for quite some time. I had never been alone. And that was the catapult. That was that alchemical moment in my life when I went, holy crap. There's something to this. I don't know what's going to happen next, but I'm in this room and there's something big coming. And, yeah, from there, I started working with the angels on a regular basis and realized that I had voices in my head and I wasn't sure they were mine. So I went to see a psychiatrist because I thought I was crazy. And
before we tell the sure. classic psychiatrist story, because I'm sure it is a classic psychiatrist story, we're going to need to go to a break. And I want to make sure that people know your website so they can find you. So how can they find you?
You can find me at www.roxannemusso.com. And I will actually spell that for you. It's roxannemusseau.com.
Great. And we will remind them of that a couple of times so that people can tap into your work. That's wonderful work. Yeah. We're going to take some breaks. We'll be back shortly unless we get taller. So don't go nowhere. We'll be right back with more of the Farkas Files.
Hey, Larry, mind if I sit down?
Nope.
This coffee tastes like coffee. So what's going on?
Not much.
What's new?
Not much.
Okay, but can you please put the newspaper down while you say not much?
What newspaper?
This newspaper. Oh, dude, what happened to your face? I see one, two,
ow,
three, four, five, six.
Ow.
Dude, what is
ow
this? 11 pieces of toilet paper stuck to your face?
I'm shaving in the dark to save energy. I'm helping the environment.
Well, that's a dangerous way to help the environment.
Well, sometimes you have to sacrifice yourself for the greater good.
Dude, there's an easier and safer way to help the environment without sacrificing yourself. Go green, go public. Take public transportation. It's good for the environment, and you won't have to live behind a newspaper.
Wow.
But for now, put the newspaper back up.
A message from the public transportation systems across the country. To learn more, visit publictransportation.org.
I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong. I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong.
It's always nice to come home, but these days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over 1 million struggling homeowners, and we want to help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
And I love it. I'm home.
I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
Where I be.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg. Ha ha, I win. Whoa! Ah! Sassy! Johnny fell down the well.
I'm wet.
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl! What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold!
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound health and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What did he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with Roxanne Mousseau from outside Calgary in Canada in the foothills of the Rockies where it's gorgeous. And we were just talking about one of those classic moments in anybody who does this work, whether you actually go to a psychiatrist's office or meet a psychiatrist somewhere and have the conversation. So you realize that you had voices in your head that didn't sound like yours, and you decided to talk to a shrink about it.
I sure did. Yep. And so I had several sessions, explained the whole thing, and she said, okay, well, you know, they're not telling you anything bad, so I don't think you're crazy, but we'll run some tests anyway. So we did, you know, the classic rundown of, you know, psychiatric evaluations, and at the end we were sitting there, and she said, well, you know, the good news is you're not crazy, Roxanne. Whew. I was like, can we get that in writing? Because there's some people that are going to want proof. And it was so funny to me because her next statement after that was, Roxanne, you know, everybody has the aptitude for giftedness. She said, there's only a few of us that, you know, proceed, that move forward, that step into our gifts and share them. And she said, you know, I'm so grateful that you are and know that I have too. I work with fairies. Well, I almost fell off the...
I was going to say, great, this is a pretty unusual psychiatrist. And the differentiation she was making was the voices are real, but they're telling you good things. And The voices are real and they're telling you bad things, which would have been demonic. And I've worked in a couple of locked psych units, and my night job while I was apprenticing with two shamans was working on a locked psych unit. And I could see who the voices were. I could see both sides of the conversation, which, of course, I couldn't tell anybody because we only had one padded room and it was reserved for. But I couldn't put it in the nursing notes. And, you know, there definitely were mostly people who had ghosts that were their companions and had ongoing conversations. It usually, in that case, wasn't elementals or fairies or angels. Well, occasionally, but the ones who were dangerously psychotic and violent were being harassed by demons who were reflecting back to them their own horror story. Yes. So the psychiatrist would not be able to perceive the reality of the third party in the room. And would say, "You're crazy because there's no one here." And the client would say, "No, you're crazy. There is someone here."
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And communication completely breaks down because both people's definition of reality were in conflict.
Yes.
So how wonderful that you managed to attract a psychiatrist who had her own experience of there being another level to reality.
Yes. Yeah. And from there, I just started trusting, dipping into that sense of intuition that I had, and started working with people. I didn't start having clients and doing this as, you know, my line of work, shall we speak. I like to call it my line of play because I've decided I'll never work again. But until last year, honestly, but for 8 years now, I have been passing messages from the angels to people that need them. And then from that, I've just grown into working with the ancestor energy on the land here, bringing in, you know, dead pets. That's how I stepped into my medium work was, when my mom's dead cat came to visit me, freaked me out a little, but yeah. And then from there, it's just grown. And like I said, in the past year, the divine feminine, alchemy has just really come into play in my own life. And so in my, you know, growth trajectory, I've been able to bring that to others as well.
Which is wonderful. I have friends that are animal communicators. So dead animal communicator is just another level.
Well, I've always been cool with
an animal communication can be really funny.
It is.
With the live animals as they start to describe things about their owners and stuff. And I would hang out with this. Good.
So, yeah, it gets amusing.
I remember hanging out with this gal and her two cats, and one of the cats was friendly with me. And I finally heard, you know, what was going on. And he looked at me and he looked at her. And the next thought that we heard was, "Oh, God, he's onto me, too."
I have to tell you, some of the funniest communicators are horses. And they tell it like it is. There is just no, they're like, "Yeah, that person, hey girl," that's what they call me, the hey girl. My best friend has a separated shoulder right now. And it's not like, "Hey girl," it's like, "Hey, you with the hey, bring it over here." Because I've been feeding the horses and they're like, "Yeah, we like you, just give us the food." So I'm like, wow, yeah, the bluntness of horses definitely rivals cats.
And cats are more surreptitious, or they try to be, or at least some of them. So, you know, what I find fascinating about your path, one of the reasons that I ask everybody to tell their walkabout and the challenges is because the audience really, when I started the show, my feeling was that people listen to folks who do things that are different and are in a state of awe and say, I could never do that. You must have always been different. Mm-hmm. And most of the people who come on the show have a story that goes on for decades about what it took for them either to develop the skills that they have or to accept them. Mm-hmm. And there are some folks like you who realized from very early that you were different and you perceived things differently, and you still took decades. You know, it's not like, yes, okay, great. You know, so you always were different. You always had this, but you had to figure it out. And you had to go through challenging what other people believed you could or couldn't be. And, you know, all of that stuff that you had to do until you finally got at least this far on the path and have said, okay, religion doesn't work for me. I'm not crazy. And, oh, thank God she hears fairies. and, oh, my God, animals, too. And
yes, you know,
angels, really? Angels? You know, and you're laughing because I'm being flippant about it, but that's my experience of it all the time. And that's why they laugh at me. It's like, oh, you're kidding me. I thought I had just about gotten as weird in my experiences. Like, you're going to give me something even weirder.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All righty then. What now? Yeah.
You want me to do what now? You want me to say what to who? And who are you that's talking to me?
Right.
Yep.
Right.
It just keeps growing. You know,
right. So people often ask me, you know, what's shamanic training like? You know, what do you need to know? And I say, well, doctors and other medical people need to be desensitized to things like blood and smells and people's grimacing and pain and all of that so they can do their job. And a shaman basically needs to be desensitized to weirdness. You have to get to the point. You have to get to the point where you're in a situation in which anyone else would be running into the woods with their hair on fire. And you stand there going, okay, what would you have me do now? And spirit tells you what to do, and then the conversation starts. What?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Me? That's going to work? I'm going to survive that?
Really? You want me to do what now? I don't even give the nice, oh, okay, this is what's... No, I'm like, are you effing kidding me right now? You want to talk about...
Right. In the meantime, there's chaos going on around you, and you know, things are about to go really to a bad place in some kind of container.
Yes.
And you're having this side conversation with whatever aspect of divinity is communicating with you in that moment, going, yes. What? So it's always refreshing that it's always refreshing to commiserate with somebody who,
yes,
who has that same experience and can hear the angels laughing at me, which undoubtedly they're doing now too, and a few other kinds of it.
The head right now.
Yeah, what are they doing?
Like, they're just patting us both on the head right now. Like, woo. Woo woo babies, it'll be okay. And let me tell you, they are never condescending, but they have a sense of humor like nobody's business. And when I'm giving an angel reading with a new client, for example, they're expecting like this, you know, sacred, holy experience. And I'm like, yeah, and your angel says this, and it usually will have an F-bomb or two in it when they're really trying to get something across. Right. And I'm like, what? They swear. Don't. Let me tell you, there's some that don't, but a lot of them do. And I just want to put out there right now that Archangel Michael's the worst. He's got a potty mouth.
Well, there are, and he just knocked something over, right? There are seven archangels that I typically work work with for heavy duty stuff, Michael being one of them.
Yes.
And it's, when we're not doing it, it's kind of like hanging out in a firehouse with, you know, the rest of the team. And yes, it's merciless. It's absolutely merciless. And you got to stand up to him and be one of the boys, you know. So, like, you're kidding me. What?
Yeah. And, you know, and as much as we, you know, joke about that, and I think that for any of us that are on these paths, just to remember that it's going to be like that. You know, there's going to be something new that comes up, and you're going to be like, you want me to do what now? Really? Like, have... I'm pretty sure there's a long list here of stuff that I've been helping y'all out with, you know, but just to keep that sense of humor about it, right, that we're sharing right now. And that I often, after I go through one of those moments where it's all that, you know, all hell's about to break loose and you want me to do what, and I do it, you know, on the other side of that, as funny as that all is, man, does that ever bring such gifts into my right life, let alone right the people that are there, you know? So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and part of that is exactly that transition to, oh, that worked. I can trust them. I now know something mm-hmm I didn't know before, which I can apply in the future without having to go through all this struggle, yes, and all this fear. It's, you know, a whole major thing that goes on, but there's always that resistance and fear and crazy conversation that goes on. And I'm so glad we got to talk about that, because it's one of those aspects of doing this work that, other than the side conversations at parties, you know, or, oh, what happened to you with that one? You know, most people never hear that. They think it's all very spiritual and, you know, and then I did the ceremonial and no.
No. There are moments of that, absolutely. But sometimes it's, you know, so funny, you laugh so hard you want to pee your pants. Sometimes it hurts a lot and you cry real hard. You know?
Right. And so, just, and the one that most people that I've been explaining to people is, and then there are the ones where you do it and it works and you're exhausted for 3 or 4 days and confused and hurting, and it uh-huh takes a while for it to sort out in your body before you can even have a reasonable thought about it. It's like, well, what's going on with you? You sick? No, I just worked on something that knocked me sideways.
Yeah.
And then you get up with the bruises and the scars like any other warrior and shake it off and you do the next thing. But yeah, people don't realize that sometimes this stuff is extremely physically and emotionally demanding and dangerous.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's often my conversation with Michael. Okay, how bad am I going to get hurt if I do this?
Yeah.
Not that I'm not going to do it. You know, I've always done it. I'm going to do it. But this one's going to hurt, isn't it?
And he's like, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it is. Not gonna lie.
Yeah,
you know, that's so funny because that's been my conversation since last July. I had mentioned earlier that there's a difference to me between my walkabout, which I'm about to go on, and my path that's brought me to where I am. Mm-hmm. And yeah, for me right now, I've been called to go on this walkabout around the world. And so I've just quit my teaching job. I've been a high school teacher for 10 years. And I was like, you want me to do what? You want me to go around the world and do what? And so I'm just about to head out now to find women's dances around the world that are directly related to women in different cultures. And my directive that came in a vision was to bring them home into my body, bring them home onto the land here, and then bring them to the women that need them. And wow, I'm like, you want me to do what? You want me to quit my job and get rid of my house and sell my car? Are you crazy?
Well, I'm glad I got you before you left.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And maybe we can set up a way for you to check in on the show periodically from wherever you are and include a wider group of people in your walkabout. So give that a little fountain let's talk before you leave, because this is quite the adventure that you're going on.
Yes. Yes, it is. And I've had moments of extreme excitement, like this is the coolest thing ever. And I have had moments of extreme terror of, wow, you want me to do what? So, yeah. And so the adventure continues for all of us.
Yeah, I did a couple of those. Actually did them one after the other. And I'm like, what? The other one wasn't enough. I had a, you know, all right, whatever. I know it's supposed to be here 3 weeks, but I'm staying how long?
Yeah.
That 3.5 months later, like, oh, time to go now. All right, why? I don't know. Time to go now.
Yeah. My favorite part is when people say, well, where are you going? And I'm like, well, don't really know yet. I'll find out when I have a dream. And they're just like, oh, Roxanne.
And that'll just tell you what you need to know to get to the first place. And when you find out about the second place, somebody will give you the money to get there and introduce you to people. And yeah, that's how it works.
Exactly. Yep. Who knew?
Well, one of the things is if they told you all this up front, you would be so busy being upset about it that you wouldn't have done all the things that got you here. So they don't tell you.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I just keep telling them when I'm back there and I'm chilling with you guys on the other plane, it's on. It's human incarnation. It's on.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's going to be party time, but it's going to be.
Yes.
You're going to. So my guest tonight is the amazing, I didn't even know how amazing, Roxanne Musso. Her website is RoxanneMusso.com. And since nobody is going to spell that without help, RoxanneMusseau. I even pronounced it correctly first time using my high school French. And she is at the moment outside of Calgary, Alberta, but who knows where she will be the next time we check in with her.
Mm-hmm. I'll be in Bali first. That part they told me already.
They're sending you to Bali first? How cool is that?
Yes. Yes. It's pretty awesome.
So what would you like to leave people with? What thought are you supposed to tell them right now?
Just remember that the process is just one foot and step in front of the other, one step at a time, and that you're always on the right path. Even if you think you're off in the trees, you're exactly where you're supposed to be.
And very often we are blazing that trail as a path for other people. So it doesn't always look like somebody else has been there or they haven't been there for a while.
Yeah. And hey, don't forget to laugh about it all, because that's what's going to keep you sane ish.
Yeah. Well, it depends on who's defining sane. Roxanne, thank you so much for being on the show, and especially for jumping in at the last minute because things were crazy this week. This was so much fun. So much fun. Yeah, and I'm sure so glad to meet you.
Thank you, David.
So if people have gotten at all curious about this odd man, David, who's doing the show, you can find out more about the oddity at househealing.com, and cleverly hiding on the contact page is every conceivable technology for getting in touch with me, including a scheduling calendar. I do a 20-minute free consultation to assess what's going on in your situation and how my work might be helpful. So please do plug into that and get in touch. If you're looking for more episodes of the show, the archive is again so cleverly hiding at thefarkasfiles.com. And You can also find us on iTunes podcasts and a bunch of streaming media, including iHeartRadio. So it's an honor to be a part of your life. I know people listen to us all over the world at whatever time works for you. And it's really an honor to be a part of your lives and bring all these wonderful people to you. So until next week, this is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. Thanks for being here, and thanks for all you do.